The one and only Dean Lewis, welcome to Triple M Aussie. How are you, man?
Mate, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, what an absolutely hectic few years for you, dude.
Yeah, it was, it was kind of like three, four years. I kind of change it. Sometimes I say four, sometimes I say two, but it's just like, it sort of felt like 4 years. I think every time I'd release a song and then I'd have to, like, a month off and then go back on the road, it was just bits and pieces. And then by the end, it was just chaos in the best way.
Do you have moments, especially like over the last year we had with 2020, where it's just like, it felt like such a blur and you'd be like, did this actually happen? You know, playing Good Morning America, playing sold out tours in the States.
Yeah, I don't remember any of it. Like, the thing is, like, I got to the end of the last, I think it was like last December ago when the final tour finished, and it was like, okay. And I this actually was what the new song's about. It's about like always thinking like, when this finishes, like when this tour is done, I'll be like happy. And then, you know, you get to the last one. And then I was like, wait, was that it? Like,
yeah,
that was the thing. And then the whole time I'm waiting for it to have a break. And then, so it's been a big time of like, going, okay, well, this time around, if I have another song that does well, I'm going to try to appreciate things.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Can you explain to listeners, like, explain what an American tour is like? Because I think Australians, yeah, we can wrap our head around what Australian bands are like. You know, it's kind of a weekend warrior kind of thing. Tell us, yeah, what a day-to-day operation is and how many people are with you when you're doing an, yeah, American tour.
Oh, well, I mean, the level that I was at, we were doing, I think the biggest venues we were doing in America was like 2,000, and the smallest ones. And then in some smaller cities, you're doing like, you're kind of going back down to, you know, like where when I started in Australia, to like, you're doing like 800 people. So it kind of ranges. But the level that I was at, I was like, basically you'd finish a show and then you'd have this sleeper bus where I had 12 people that I had on my crew, including, yeah, my band. We'd overnight, you basically, it's actually this huge bus where you have your own bunk, right?
Yeah.
And it's actually really comfortable and private, but it's bit claustrophobic if you're claustrophobic.
Yeah.
And then we just basically, you'd sleep and then you'd wake up and the bus would drive overnight and you'd wake up in Minneapolis. And then you'd get up and then I'd have to do radio stuff in the morning and you'd basically check into a hotel, but we usually get one room. It's like a day room, they call it. So everyone kind of, you can have like a shower and get ready and then you go off and then you go and do radio stuff and then do a show and then the cycle repeats. It's really fun, but also, you know, your voice wears out and it's very intense.
I was going to say, how are you keeping healthy, man? You got 12 dudes in a van. Everyone's on their own schedule. Everyone's got different things going on. Like, how do you kind of keep in shape for something like that?
Yeah, that's the hardest part. I mean, it's just not drinking a lot. I think it's like just trying to take care of yourself, because it's really, it's like you don't have any control of your life in the sense of like you start, people just point. I basically got used to people pointing me in different directions. So they just, you get up this morning, you get up at 6 a.m. Mm. And so, you know, if you have a normal job, you can say, okay, I start at 8:30. I'm going to get up at 6:30 and go for a run. But like, it's really hard because it's always changing. So, it was basically whenever I had a moment, I would try to like, you know, write in my journal and go to a coffee shop and just sit there. But it was really, you know, there's no routine and I'm a big routine guy. So I struggle with that, but it was all great how it was happening.
But what's it like, man? Like, as you were doing the tour, you're getting bigger in another country. You know, like you said, you were playing these smaller venues and then by the end of it, you're playing to 2,000 people. What's it like being in another country, watching that happen? Like, I was on your Facebook, man, you had queues of people around the corner.
Oh, it was crazy, man. Like, it's like, you know, I remember, this all feels like another life, even though it was only like a year and a half ago. Like, seriously, I remember being in Belgium and we're playing this show, I think, to like 3,000 people. And it was like insane. And then like, I went outside and you got outside and they have like these like gates, like these little fences they put up with people like to stop them from, there was like the full Justin Bieber and you're kind of going, this, as you walk to the bus, this is crazy. And, but it's one of those things that like when you're in it, you know, it's like anything, I think you're always like, even, you know, when you guys got your radio show up and running, you're probably like, I think if you look back and went, well, 10 years ago, if we thought we had our own radio show, we wouldn't have believed it. And then when it's happening, you kind of get caught up in the minutiae of all the little things that you have to, you know, your new goals, the things you're worried about, they still exist.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the thing. I didn't really appreciate any of it.
It's crazy, man. Like January this year, Be Alright went 10 times platinum. Like, it's the gift that keeps on giving, man. Like, what does that feel like? Like, this song is still growing.
Surreal. Like, I can't believe it. I mean, I think it still streams something ridiculous, like over a million every day streams. It's you know what, man? And it's something you can't really take on. People just keep listening to it. It seems to have, you know, seeped into a lot of people's lives. But it's also a weird thing because as an Australian artist, you never even have, like, you can have the, like, you, oh, how cool would it be to break it in America? But it never happens.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there's, so I had one song that did it and that was just, it's amazing, really.
And to have a song out there as popular as that, especially during lockdown when people are listening to more music than ever just adds to it.
Well, actually, you know, I mean, for me, like, it was when Be Alright and the album was out, it was crazy. Like, there was just so many people telling me how much the songs, you know, helped them and all that stuff. And then over, like, over the last, for me, it's kind of slowed down a little bit in regards to, like, people reaching out to me for some reason. But I think now things are starting to pick back up again. Like, it's starting to get crazy. Like, people are starting to get really, really excited. So in a weird way, mine's actually been kind of reverse of that.
Tell me what it's been like, man. Like, what have you had to cancel? What did you have to chop and change over this last year?
Oh, I mean, the tour thing's been crazy. Like, I mean, I would have put a song out probably 6 months ago. That was the plan. And then, you know, I think every artist is kind of going like, when's this thing? Like, you know, for someone like me and for a lot of artists, unless you're like, you know, really like Dua Lipa or whatever. And, you know, you have to go out and I mean, she actually does a lot of work, but like you got to go out and promo it around the world because you got to go and like play the song and you got to show it to people. So I think a lot of people are kind of going, oh, we'll just keep waiting for this thing to end and then we'll put it out and then we'll go back to America and we'll go to Belgium and whatever. But it's like, I think you get to the point where it's like, well, you gotta put something out. So, and also right now with music, it seems like there's, what I'm so proud about with Falling Up is like, it's a meaningful, reflective song that's about my life and it means a lot to me. And I feel like right now, like there's not a lot of other tunes that are like that. I think, so I feel like I feel good about hitting this timing in regards to like, there not being anything like this song out there at the moment, at least.
That's so exciting, man. I mean, how did you go from having, you know, like you said, you had people pointing you in each direction every day, having all this momentum, doing all these things to just stopping completely. Did you have a hard time dealing with that? Yeah.
Totally. Like when I came off the road, it was just like, wait, so I just sit here and then, and it's almost like you're just buzzing all the time. And I have one of those ADD personalities where I'm like if I'm not doing something, I feel really uneasy. So, it was just really, it was a lot of like, just kind of waking up at like 10 a.m. And then like, I just, cause I was in LA, it sounds so wanky, but like, my manager was there and I was just like, I wanted to be somewhere else. And I just like would wake up and then I just go to Joe the Juice and just get a coffee. And then I'd walk home in the sun and then I'd sit on the balcony and just like write in my notebook. And I was like, oh my God, what do I want to do today? You know what I mean? But also the pressure was on because it's like the record label starts going, okay, we need the new songs in 6 months. So go write some really good stuff as well. But that was intense.
Dude, I've been reading up on you, man. And one of your quotes was when you said you were writing is you don't remember anything when you're writing it. So I imagine when you're going through voice memos and stuff, how hard was that to find, you know, what bones of a song you wanted to work on as opposed to other things? That must've been difficult too.
Yeah. I think some songs for me, like I break it up into two phases. Like the whole time I'm on the road or wherever I am, I'm like writing ideas. Like if I just pick up a guitar, there's ideas. I'm just like, there's no filter. I'm just like record for 10 minutes, gibberish. But then I did this thing in LA where I would go back through my phone and I would just like find the songs that were like, some songs that you remember and you're like, oh, this one's got to be one.
Yeah.
It just is special. And then I would go back and I would find it. And then I'd spend like 2 hours in the morning crafting it. Like I'd type it all out, all the gibberish words. And then I'd like go, what does it need? Like, okay, how do I need to make the chorus makes sense here. And so that was kind of like, it was kind of inspiration. And then the process of just sitting down for actually doing work, like going from, I know it's not much, 2 hours, but creatively by the end of that, I was wrecked. And then like, I just kind of go type it all out. And the next day I'd pick up where I left off.
That's cool, man. So is that the way you write? It's words first, then music?
A lot of it actually is a lot of it comes down, I'm a bit lazy with it all. Like I work really hard at trying to chip it away. But like, usually it's like, when the inspiration of the song comes down, it's usually like words and melody pointing to some direction that needs to be like, you need to change a few lines and it is malleable, but it's like wet cement. When the first idea comes down, you want to get as much as you can because when you're onto something, it's coming down and it's great. And then when the cement turns dry, it is so hard to change it and come up with anything new. So just like trying to capture it in the moment, and usually a lot of great stuff comes down at the same time, a lot of bad stuff as well, but it's always just trying to find those little nuggets of gold.
So do you have to finish every song you start just to say, man, I've finished this, there's not much I can do? Or do you have like a lot of demos that you've just got kind of sitting there? Is that kind of a bit daunting sometimes?
There are so many unfinished songs, it's crazy. Like when I finish an album, I always go like I just go, you know, sometimes it's like songs, it's the easiest ones that come down and they just work the best. But I always go like, I sometimes feel guilty because I'm like, why haven't I worked on this one? But I always feel good about it because I go, after this album, it's like I've got so many more ideas that I'm just like, I know I can go back to. So if it all stops coming down, at least I've got these that aren't not on the album because they're not good. I just haven't fleshed them out yet.
That's cool, man. Like, are there some of those songs that you're writing like now in your career where you go, hey, you know what? I could give that melody to X person in the States and go, hey, I could do a collab. I could just kind of send this off and 100%. See what people do with it. Are you more open to doing that stuff now?
Well, I get a lot of offers for that stuff and people wanting to write with like me to write with them and stuff like that. It's something I want to do, I think, after this album a little bit. Like, I'd love to open the doors to that. And I'm a bit selfish with this stuff. Like, there's songs that I'll finish that I don't make the album. And then my publisher's always telling me like, oh, this person wants it. Not like, you know, I don't even know the names. It's not like, you know, and I'll be like, I don't want to give it away until I know down the line I don't want it. Do you know what I mean? So...
Is it hard finding that point to kind of give it away?
It is, because you go, well, what if it's really, really amazing? And it's also weird giving your story away to someone else. But I definitely will do that, man. 100% soon, I reckon I'll start just clearing out the stuff that I know I'm not going to use.
You should, man, because your songs are so melodic and they're so catchy. And I bet that there is like so much gold there that you could give to someone else and they give you something and you'd be like, man, I got writing credit on this song that's sick. And man, they've done this cool thing with it that I just wasn't expecting.
Yeah, you're right. It's probably a good move.
Yeah,
I should
just because you're so melodic. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think thank you, man. Like, I appreciate that. I think songwriting is like, that's the thing for me is I used to be all obsessed with melody. It's all about melody, and that comes naturally. And then I think learning that lyrics are the thing that really connects with people. So that's definitely the hard part. So but yeah, I think I'll definitely get into that in the future.
Dude, that's your strength, dude. You're so good at it. And another quote from you is, and I'm interested now because. Obviously, you were saying a little bit earlier, like, you know, following what you've done, you know, you've said in the past that saying no is really important when things don't feel right. Has there been a point in this process where, you know, maybe the record label said, hey, we want to do this. And you're like, no, I don't want to do that. Is it still, you're still finding you have to having to do that a bit?
You know, weirdly, like, I'm not even just saying it, like, I have a really good label. Like, we all sort of are on the same page, but there are 100% things that I say no to all the time.
Good, man.
We're on the same page with the songs and stuff like that. But I just, I think it's really important for, if you're an artist and you're starting out, people will tell you to do things a certain way that don't feel good. And there is a point where people actually, like, know what they're talking about. And it's like, that's a good thing. Mm. But there's a point where if it doesn't feel like you, and the production is not like, it feels like someone else's song. Don't do it. Like, just don't do it. I've had an offer of one of the songs on my album. Someone came, this big DJ, I don't even know his name, but he was like a big DJ in Europe. And they said they want to use this song that I'm going to release, you know, at some point on his album. And he just had this huge, like, I think it was like number, it was doing really well on American Billboard. And they're like, he heard the song, he wants it. And I'm like, but it's my song. No, like, do you know what I mean? But like stuff like that. But maybe I'm dumb for doing it, but I always think,
nah, man.
Follow your instinct.
Dude, well, you've gone with your gut so far and it's worked pretty well.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, so we're excited for this new track and I love what you've been doing on Facebook too. You've just been teasing everyone with some snippets and your fans are going crazy. It must be exciting, man.
Can't wait, man. Yeah, it's been really exciting. My fans are really excited.
Cool, man. Tour, what's going on?
No one knows. So we're just like waiting, you know, everything keeps getting pushed back and we're just sort of waiting on all the governments to tell us what we can do. So just like, ready to go, but just waiting for them to give us the okay.
Well, dude, it must be good to be in the process again, you know, in a radio station again, talking about the music.
Oh my God.
It feels like things are slowly getting back to normal though, at least here.
It does. It feels good. And I think I'm starting to notice that as well as things open up. And it feels like the beginning again, like a new song, like, oh God, like, are people going to like it? People are going to remember. What are they going to say? But I feel so good about it. I'm really excited.
Dude, we're excited, man. You're one of the country's best promising young songwriters. And it's important that you're releasing music in this time. It's new. It's fresh. You're buzzed about it. And so are we at Triple M, man. So congrats on the release. We can't wait to see you in Melbourne and touring around the country, man. Thanks for chatting on Triple M Aussie.
Thanks for the chat. Cheers.